Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. It's that time again for Ocean State Theater Company to be here. And the marvelously talented and gorgeous and delightful Ron Brown is here. Welcome, Ron. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Actually, I was talking about Amy Turner, and Amy is back again, and Ron is playing one of the lead roles in the upcoming performance of...
Meet Me in St. Louis, or Lewis, whichever you prefer.
Well, I guess it's written Lewis, but everybody says Louis, don't they?
Yeah, well, Meet Me in St. Louis is about the World's Fair, which is what this is about, but the song is Meet Me in St. Louis, so there's actually a little bit in the show about what's the correct pronunciation.
Okay,
well. So you can say whichever you want.
For those of you that are new to Conducting Conversations, Amy Turner is the artistic director, or the president, the main person, the grand poobah, everything you want to know about the Ocean State Theater, which is a beautiful new facility in Warwick, Rhode Island, on Jefferson Boulevard, right down the end, near the Greenwood Inn, as they say, if you're familiar with the area. And it's a great theater, a great place to see something. If you haven't made it there yet, you should do so. And the man that jumped in as I introduced him was Ron Brown. And Ron, thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
It's nice to meet you and find out a little bit about you. You have a very, very long list of credits. If someone were to Google you and go to your website, they'll find out that you've been in opera for many years and a lot of stage productions. And tell us a little bit about your background and where you came from.
Well, I've been in it long enough. I guess the resume starts to build up after you've been around for as many decades as I have. But I'm originally from the Denver, Colorado area. I schooled in Colorado, and I actually taught for a few years when I first got out of college and was just kind of going along the normal way. And as I gradually got more involved in auditioning for theater and finding more things to do in opera and theater, I eventually made my way to Chicago in the early 90s, and then eventually to New York. And I've been calling myself a New Yorker for a little over 20 years now. And and I can really say I'm satisfied with the way my career has gone and just taken me to a lot of opportunities, and actually a lot of wonderful places around the country to perform.
Well, including Providence, Rhode Island, about a year ago.
Oh, really?
I was in the national tour of Evita that went out. It kicked off in Providence, mm-hmm, a year ago, September, I think it was.
So you already know where all the good restaurants are.
Right? I love the area. Yeah, it was great being up here for a few weeks to check out Providence, for sure.
Excellent. I noticed that you made the comment that you were in graduated college and started teaching and had a normal life. And now that would mean that this is an unnormal life, right?
I would say most people, if they threw themselves into it, would think it was less than normal.
Right.
I don't want to say abnormal, but it would be less than normal, just because it's a different type of lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Pursuing this. Fortunately, like I say, you when you get the opportunities, you relish them, and I think that's why I've always said actors are so resilient in the fact that. There's tough parts when you're between shows, when you're having to find other types of work to sustain you for a while. I say that, but when you look at what the downs are, and then you compare them to the highs when you're actually out there performing on stage, the highs so overbalance the lows that you know you've made the right choice.
Absolutely, Amy. We're going to talk about Meet Me in St. Louis, Lewis, or Loomis Lewis. And this is a show that I don't think most people, if you were to just stop people on the street and say, name a holiday production, They might say Miracle on 34th Street. They might mm-hmm. see lots of other things. I don't think a lot of people would say Meet Me in St. Louis. How did you come to this?
Yeah, well, there's been a couple of iconic holiday shows that unfortunately we've asked for the rights for, you know, 5-6 years and been turned down for. So, you know, when I couldn't really get the rights to it, one of the quote-unquote iconic shows this year, I started looking at shows that were really about family and home. And what it means, you know, what is the holiday spirit, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if there's really a better show that it's just genuinely and sincerely about how important family is and your home. Where do you base yourself? Your home. And quite honestly, as a transplant Rhode Islander, Rhode Islanders get that. It's one of the things that I find so fascinating. People live in the same house. They pass it down generation to generation. Maybe they go away, but they come back, or they don't leave at all. And then you discover that one of the most recognizable holiday tunes, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, was written for this show. It kind of all came together, and the climax, if you will. So the show takes place over an entire year, basically anticipating the St. Louis World's Fair of 1904. And but the sort of the climax, if you will, of the families, the conflict that is okay, that the yeah. show is, yeah. you know, really kind of culminates on Christmas Eve. And then they sing this beautiful song that's just so honest and truthful. So I think it's going to surprise people and kind of be ideal.
Excellent. All right. Well, let's get to a little bit of music and we'll listen to the overture, which is Meet Me in St. Louis. St. Louis will be starting on Wednesday night in previews, and then also Thursday, and then the press night and opening night on Friday night. And if people would like to get tickets, Amy, how do they do that?
Well, I like to send people to our website first, oceanstatetheater.org. That's O-R-G. You can stop by the box office, 1245 Jefferson Boulevard. We open almost every day at noon. And you could call also 401-921-6800.
Okay, there you go. So now you know how to get tickets. And this is a kind of a two-for-one show today, because you can also get tickets for another show at Ocean
you
State
can.
Theater next weekend.
Actually, you can get tickets for a lot of different shows.
Well, yes, I'm
but
touting
if
one
you're in the holiday
show.
Spirit, we do. We're so excited for the second December in a row. We're doing American Acapella on this Saturday coming up, Saturday afternoon. Yeah, so you can get tickets for that as well. It's a great concert with some amazing musicians. You'll be there.
I will be.
And
it's
always
a lot of fun.
And tickets sell really well for that. So, you know, join us. It's, if I'm not mistaken, you know better than me, but it's a lot of music with some great holiday tunes thrown in. So you're
correct.
Not going to be overwhelmed, but you'll get just the right amount of spirit.
And that'll be Saturday afternoon at 2:00. And we'll give Ron a little break where he can sit in the audience and listen to us at that point in time.
Yeah. But we also have our kids show, our second kids show, the following Saturday, which is Bubbleology, which is always a big hit. And we do our Family Fun Fest 7 times. So this will be the second show in our series. So we got a lot going on in December.
You have to check out the website, because there's always a lot of things going on at the Ocean State Theater, and a lot of great shows coming up starting in January too, a whole nother group of shows which we'll talk about a little bit later. Let's get back to Ron, and the character that you're portraying is whom?
I play Mr. Alonzo Smith. Meet Me in St. Louis basically talks about the Smith family living in St. Louis. It's the father and mother, their 4 daughters and 1 son, and just it's their life and their family. And Mr. Smith is kind of, this is, remember, it's 1904, so it's kind of a different
era,
setting.
Different,
yeah, very, very different than
no
what
television,
we're used to.
No video games.
Nothing like that.
No cell phones.
And it's very much set up as though, I mean, he is the breadwinner and, you know, the mother takes care of the house, raises the children, stuff like that. Now, he's a loving father, but he really sees himself. He's very much set in his ways on this is the way things should be done. And
that's hard when you have 4 daughters.
Yes, and that's where the conflict comes in, because the daughters are getting to the age where they're a little more independent and have their own ideas. There's a lot of the various love stories involving the two older daughters and their suitors and things like that. And
well, that was also a very tumultuous time as far as changes were concerned.
Sure.
Electricity was coming in to be a factor. You know, women's rights were becoming starting to be more in the forefront. So it wasn't the mother had probably only experienced typical women's work up until that point, if you will, and now all of a sudden things are changing. So I'm sure that had a dynamic also.
It is, and all those things are kind of touched on somehow a little bit in this story of how things were changing a little bit. And it's not that he's resistant to it, it's just Mr. Smith, just this is the way he's used to doing things.
Sure.
And change is not always the best thing for somebody who's just kind of just doing things the way he always does. And so that's what brings across some of the conflict. This is one of those shows that it's not dire.
Although if
problems.
Anyone's been a parent, sometimes a child growing up can feel dire.
You seem to have some experience with that, Amy. I don't think we'll touch on that today, but you have 2 great kids.
I do, and
I'm just reminding you.
They're both about the same age that Mr. Brown is going through right now. So yeah, I can respect that.
All right, let's get to another piece of music. You Are For Loving.
Well, yeah, and this is one of the conflicts, if you will. You know, at the teenage, young 20s age, love is very important and full of turmoil. But it's just a beautiful love song that one of the suitors sings to our young leading lady.
Fortune on birds are for humming, guitars are for strumming, dreams are for coming.
That was a live recording of not someone involved in the show, but a cover, actually, right? Who was that singing?
Yeah, that was Liza Minnelli. People who are familiar with the musical, the MGM musical, Judy Garland starred in that, in the play. This is a gentleman's song. But so today I've brought music from the MGM movie,
yeah.
Also the original Broadway cast, but some covers as well, and this would be one of them, because there are some lesser known songs, but I think that they'll ring familiar because different people have chosen to incorporate them over many recordings. So we kind of just pulled from a lot of different resources for this particular
show. A little diversity. Well, let's get back to the four young ladies that are playing the four daughters that Ron has to put up with. Let's talk about them for a moment.
Well, we're really, always passionate about our mission to give local folks an opportunity and bring in, longtime professionals like Ron. Mm-hmm. And so we have these four young ladies. They're all local. The littlest one, Bobby Daugherty, is, I think she's in fourth grade, who plays Little Tootie. And then Lily McMahon, who was in our production of Sound of Music, is playing the second youngest daughter. And then the older, if you will, sisters are Sarah Pothier, who's also been with us before. She just graduated from Rhode Island College. I'm telling you, this girl is a superstar. Unbelievably talented, and her voice is incredible. And then the oldest sister is Hannah Spicone, who's also from Rhode Island, and she's been in a couple of shows for us as well before. But what was interesting is I cast Sarah and Hannah as sisters, and all of a sudden they hadn't been allowed to post on Facebook yet, but they posted on Facebook that they couldn't talk about the project, but that they were going to play sisters again, and the thread started going on and on, and apparently they, well, I know now, but they are best friends and they've known each other for a long time. This will be the fourth time they've played siblings, and I didn't know any of this, so they're just adorable together. And they're both very talented.
Excellent. That's as the world turns, right? It's,
yeah.
There you go. Well,
I guess I saw something that someone else had already seen.
All right. Let's try to get that third piece of music in before we go to our first break.
Well, and this is the Creole Jazz Band. So, again, it's a cover, but an adorable little song that the sisters do in the house as entertainment. As you said, there's no cell phones or Nintendo or anything like that. And it's called Under the Bamboo Tree.
All right, Ron, do you play a part in telling the kids not to do something like this? Is that the stern father figure? Or?
No, it's not so much that. This is just a party that's being thrown, which I don't even appear at. I'm either hiding up in the bedroom, I suppose, or just off someplace else. But the kids are just having a party, and like I say, I don't think the father disapproves of any of this. It's it's more the general day-to-day activities when you know, when something is not timed out exactly when it's supposed to happen, that's kind of when I pull out my little stopwatch and say, no, wait a minute, this is we're late or we're early or something.
Right. All right. We'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more of Meet Me in St. Louis.
I mean, like I like for you and we both are like the same. I'd like to say this very day, I'd like to change your name. Cause I love for you and love for you too. And if you are love for me, two lives one, one lives two, under the bamboo tree.
Back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we are sitting with Ocean State Theater Company's Amy Turner and lead actor in Meet Me in St. Louis, Ron Brown. And Ron, we've talked a little bit about nostalgic age, but the way things were back in 1904. And I think I heard you say that the family is from St. Louis, going to the St. Louis Fair. Is that correct?
Yes, that's the...
So they don't have far to travel.
At this point, no.
You don't have to get the horse and buggy together or anything.
We take the trolley.
Oh. Well,
clang, clang.
Well, isn't that interesting? Well, that would be a great segue into a song if we had a song called the trolley song.
If there was a trolley song, I mean, you would think something like that would be very iconic. That everyone.
Amy, can we work that in now?
I don't see why we can't.
All right, let's go to the trolley song.
Starch collar and my high top shoes and my hair piled high up on my head. I went to lose a jolly hour on the trolley and lost my heart instead. With his light brown derby and his bright green tie, he was quite the handsomest of men. I started to yen, so I counted to ten, then I counted to ten again. Clang, clang went the trolley. Ding, ding, ding went the bell. zing, zing, zing went my heartstrings. From the moment I saw him, I fell. Chug, chug, chug went the motor. Bump, bump, bump went the brake. Thump, thump, thump went my heartstrings. When he smiled, I could feel a car shake. He tipped his hat and took a seat. He said he hoped he hadn't stepped upon my feet. He asked my name, I held my breath. I couldn't speak because he scared me half to death. Chug, chug, chug went the motor. Pop, pop, pop went the wheels. Stop, stop, stop went my heartstrings. As he started to go, then I started to know how it feels when the universe reels.
The day was bright, the air was sweet. The smell of honeysuckle charmed you off your feet. You tried to sing, but couldn't speak. In fact, you loved it so you couldn't even speak.
To leave, I took hold of his sleeve with my hand, and as if it were planned, he stayed on with me, and it was grand just to stand with his hand holding mine to the end of the line.
Amy, like a lot of the productions at the Ocean State Theater Company, this is always with live instrumentalists playing in the orchestra pit, right?
It is, yeah. We're thrilled to have Esther Zabinski back as our musical director and leading the charge in the pit mm-hmm. with our lovely musicians. We will actually hear those musicians for the first time tomorrow, so that's always an exciting way to start off our week.
Excellent. And the size of this cast is pretty large. One of the larger ones you've done, right?
It is. I think that this is the biggest cast since The King and I that we've had. It's just glorious. It's under the direction and choreographic leadership of Gary John LaRosa, who folks will remember if they saw a production of Peter Pan down at the Barn. He directs all over the country. I mean, he's really just a tremendous wealth of knowledge on this particular show. And a great leader, and we're excited to see, you know, his vision come about. We have what we call, you know, we have the kids, and then we have teens. Some are actually teens that are there, that have some high schoolers that we're giving a great opportunity to. And as always, there's a mix. There's people from the Boston area, from New York City, you know, from beyond. Just a really great, amazing mix of people and a strong, exciting ensemble. And let me tell you, the costumes are going to be amazing.
Let me tell you. See, Ron, you're back in the Providence area. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, this is such a lush and glorious time period, and we've got some stitchers just stitching away up there, making all kinds of gorgeous, you know, party gowns and trolley gowns and fair gowns. And
well, that sounds great. It sounds great, and the audience knows that if they saw My Fair Lady, they saw amazing costume work, and I'm sure this won't be a letdown from that.
I don't think so. It's different, but you know, it's a very middle class family, but beautiful home, and it's been a lot of fun, I have to say, kind of putting all of these pieces together, because like we usually do, but more so, I feel like, for some reason than usual, it's kind of all from scratch on this one. It's exciting.
Cool. All right, let's get to our fifth piece of music before we take our next break.
Probably one of the arguably most recognizable songs. People may not know they know it, but The Boy Next Door, because of course our leading lady does fall in love with the proverbial boy next door and the literal boy next door.
Go listen to that and then be back with more.
The moment I saw him smile, I knew he was just my style. My only regret is
we've never met, for I dream of him all the while. But he doesn't know I exist, no matter how I may persist. So it's clear to see there's no hope for me. Though I live at 5135 Kensington Avenue, and he lives at 5133. How can I ignore the boy next door? I love him more than I can say. Doesn't try to please me, doesn't even tease me, and he never sees me glance his way. And though I'm heartsore, the boy next door, affection for me won't display. I just adore him, so I can't ignore him, the boy next door. Someday soon he'll be strolling by, he'll glance up never knowing why, he'll happen to see me, I'll happen to smile. He'll come nearer and nearer still, and we'll both feel a sudden chill. He'll happen to like me and stay for a while. But I'm afraid this dream is made of candlelight and air. He is not aware that I'm even there. So why am I going on this way, when I know he will never say, I happen to love you, I happen to care.
We are back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Ocean State Theater's Amy Turner and the leading man from Meet Me in St. Louis, Ron Brown. Ron, do you prefer Ron or Ronald?
Ron's
or?
Fine.
Ron is fine. Okay. The part that you play is the father in this scenario of this Midwestern family, if you will, from St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And we are very different here in New England now. You grew up in Denver. So you can breathe just about anywhere in the United States because you're used to Denver, right?
Sure, exactly. No, yeah. But you don't notice the extra air when you're down at sea level, but when you get used to sea level and then go back up to a
then you notice high,
like,
you missed it.
You suddenly realize, like, wait, where did all that oxygen go? Yeah.
Well, we're glad to have you here in Rhode Island, and this is your second visit, as we mentioned earlier in the show.
Well, it's my second visit to the area, and actually, I've been to Providence in years in the past, too. Mm-hmm. This is, Amy had referred earlier to several of the people that are locals and have worked with them before. I think there's possibly only one person in the entire cast that has not worked with this company before, and that would be me. This is my first time working for Ocean State, working with Amy and Joel, and I'm delighted to be here. It's a wonderful place. I had heard about them, of course, through the years when, with other projects and associations that they've had. I have many friends that have worked with them, and I've never heard anything but great compliments about the two of them and about the productions that they put up, things like that. So I was looking very much forward to coming up here, and I just as a professional actor with Actors Equity Association, and I've been that way for, like I say, over 20 years now. Mm-hmm. This is really important. I travel and I do productions all over the country at theaters very similar to this one. And I think it's such a wonderful model that they have going on here, that it's a professional theater. They do bring in equity, you know, established professional actors, sure, to do things, but they also nurture their local community, because that's for places like this, that's so important that people realize that they get a chance to do this quality of theater and all, and you can draw from, as she said, all the way up from Boston area, from, sure, from Connecticut, all those places you can draw in because they're close enough. But I think it's very important for a theater to set up that type of a relationship with their local clientele that draws your audience.
I'll have to tell you, you will not be disappointed. I know you only have a couple more days of rehearsal and then the opening, but you're right. We're not going to let Amy talk at all, because we're just going to tell her how great she is, and Joel, and
she's
the
just
entire,
have to sit there and take
she
it.
She just has to sit there and take it, because the listening audience, if you're out there and you haven't had a chance to get to the Ocean State Theater, it is a jewel. You have to do it. This is a perfect time of year to do it. You can get there to see a fun, family-friendly event. And so bring the kids, bring grandma, bring everybody, right?
Well,
Amy?
We need the audience. We had a family fun fest, our opening act, and he does his show all over the country. And he said that this was the first theater that he'd been at since the economy collapsed that was new. And many of the theaters he used to go and perform at are closed.
Right.
So, you know, I appreciate those words. We work very hard to create that environment and create a product that folks want to come and see. But at the end of the day, it really is up to everyone else to say that that they agree and that they come and they support this unbelievable brand new opportunity that hopefully, I mean, I always tease and I say we have a 20-year lease, so you know, but we'll be here as long as the public wants to see the shows that we do. So,
well, we all hope you'll be here for a real long time. And Ron, let's get back to you. And this next song is a little confusing to me, because I saw the title and I was trying to figure out, what does this have to do with the show? It's called A Touch of Irish.
Yes, there's a couple other characters in the household of the Smiths. One is Mrs. Smith's father, and so the grandfather of the children. Fun little character. And then there's also Katie the maid, who obviously just takes care of everything around the house. Mm-hmm. And she's a Irish lass.
I see.
And so in this section, the teenage girls are having some boy problems, and she gives them a little bit of advice on how to handle the boys.
A little Irish advice. All right. We'll listen to that and then be back with our final segment here with Amy and Ron.
You two girls could use a little Irish technique when it comes to nabbing a man, if you ask me. An Irishman is a funny guy, sometimes low and sometimes high. Deceptive and evasive, poetic and persuasive. The lassies have the self-same neck, so they never have a lack of gentlemen hanging around. At least that's what I've found. They charm them, disarm them with every feminine wile, and steal them from their sisters with brazen Irish guile.
It sounds as if when it comes to romance, a couple of Smiths wouldn't stand a chance.
We ought to be Casey or Mulligan,
O'Sullivan or McGonagall.
Oh, no, that isn't true. There are just a few simple things you ought to do.
If
a lad is slow to speak and quick to run away. If his wallet's empty when you give him the bill to pay. If he starts to panic when you mention wedding day. Give him a touch of the blarney, his feet to leave the ground. Give him a touch of the shamrock and watch him come around, around. If he says you're lucky knowing such a handsome gent. Tell him that you're tired of him, you're giving him up for Lent. Do a bit of flirting just to throw him off the scent. Give him a touch of the blarney and set your little trap. Give him a touch of the shamrock, he'll fall into your lap. And praise him, gently daze him, simply amaze him with compliments that make no sense. If he tells you you're the sweetest lass he's ever known, just be sure the two of you will never be left alone. Whistle through your teeth and holler for the chaperone. Give him a touch of shillelagh, implore you though he may. Give him a touch of the Irish and you will win the day. Tell him he's wonderful, tell him he's marvellous, tell him he's clever and wise. Tell him you're captured, bewitched and enraptured whenever you look in his eyes. If that doesn't get him, completely upset him, no matter how lovely you look, why tell him you know how to cook? And if all else fails, and he takes the wind right out of your sails, lead him to romance in a genuine Irish dance. Come on now, you know this one. Aye, Sláinte. Give him a touch of the blarney and a touch of Killarney. Give him a touch of the Irish.
Amy, we're just about in the middle of the season. Meet Me in St. Louis is not part of your normal subscription series, but there's half of it left, right?
Yeah. So we do. We do three plays and three musicals as part of our subscription series, and then sort of a bonus track, if you will, mm-hmm. for folks that remember that. We do the holiday production this year. Of course, it is Meet Me in St. Louis. And then probably in January, late January, we'll announce our summer, our little mini series in the summer, what that programming will be. But so we opened with My Fair Lady, and
right,
then we
great.
Switched into, thank you, Dial M for Murder. And after the turn of the calendar, so we will go into a really special play, kind of a very thoughtful play called The Meeting, which is an imagined meeting between Malcolm X and Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. And what's really amazing about that play, I think, is that it's really a cerebral discussion of how do you achieve what you want, the change that you want in this world. And it's obviously about the civil rights movement. But, you know, do you fight for it? Or do you negotiate for it? And it's really a complex conversation that's relevant right now with a lot of what's going on in the world.
Sounds like it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, and we'll do that as part of our educational outreach program. So if there's any teachers out there or superintendents, we will have many student matinees scheduled for that. So, you know,
great.
Give us a call and
great
let us
opportunity.
Know. And then we do this pretty unique musical called The Last 5 Years by a great composer, young composer, Jason Robert Brown. And it's two characters that are, it's 5 years of their relationship. And one of the characters, it's told from the first time they meet through the time that they decide they need to end the relationship, and the other character is the opposite. You start at the end of the relationship and move backwards in time towards the beginning, and they intersect in the middle. So it's a really kind of a miraculous way that this story is told. And then we will laugh ourselves silly with Lend Me a Tenor, which is one of the greatest farces ever written.
Right.
25 years, and it's still as fresh and funny as ever. Mm-hmm. Mistaken identity, slamming doors, you know, fake deaths. It's just everything. Love, sex, it's, you know, everything. All surrounding an opera singer, so you got that going on.
The diva thing.
And then we'll end with Into the Woods.
Stephen Sondheim.
Stephen Sondheim, yeah. which is really exciting because there's, you know, I think everybody's anticipating the movie coming out. So people who maybe aren't familiar with it, hopefully will support mm-hmm. that film. But then they can come and see it on stage because it's obviously a different experience. And if people don't know at all, it's taking several fairy tales that we know, Jack and the Beanstalk, Cinderella, Little Red Riding Hood, among others, and it's woven into one integrated story. But at the end of the day, it's really not for children at all. I mean, it's definitely an adult story, right. because the glinch of it, the sort of the center of it is be careful what you wish for,
okay,
because you just might get it.
Well, there you go. And don't forget, there's the other program that's going on. You have a couple specials coming up, I believe. Brad.
Well, we just had Brad.
See how I'm not up to the times.
Well, you need to go on the website.
Okay, that's the story. And if you need to go to the website, it is
OceanStateTheater.org. But we have. We're about ready to announce a couple of benefit concerts in January. We're also continuing our partnership with Catch a Rising Star. John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band is going to be performing in January. So,
and then Saturday matinee is going to be American Acapella. So I'll be there. So I'll be there Friday night for the opening.
Yes.
To see you, Ron, and cheer you on. And then Saturday afternoon, American Acapella. There are a few tickets still available. And I say few because I know that it's selling very well, thankfully.
Yes.
So it's a 2:00 matinee where you get to hear some holiday tunes mixed with some other a cappella favorites, as we say.
And some really great guests, too, coming in, right?
We have the Narragansett Bay Chorus as the hosts, and then we have four quartets. There'll be Southeast Light, which is a mixed group, unusually. And then we have Wake the Neighbors, which is a medalist Sweet Adeline's quartet coming in. Curtain Call, a college quartet of our society. And then my quartet, Trade Secret, will be there also. So it should be a lot of fun. So we hope to see you there. And then, Amy, on Sunday, I get to spend I'm going to be the whole weekend with you.
You are going to be all about the Ocean State Theater this
weekend. That's right. Talk Back, or what we call Conducting Conversations Live, will take place, where the audience will have a chance to ask Ron questions about Denver or Kansas City or the fact that he played Juan Perón 528 times or whatever the number was, but a lot,
it's
right?
Actually a lot more than that.
Probably more than that. There you go. Well, Ron, it was great meeting you, and thanks for coming in today and spending your time with us.
It was great to have a conversation with you. Thank you.
Thanks, Ron. And Amy, we have one more tune to play. Tell us about this.
Well, you know, why not leave everyone in the holiday spirit with like I said, a beautiful song that was written for Meet Me in St. Louis, and a great sentiment that I'd like to share with you and your listeners, which is have yourself a merry little Christmas.
Excellent. We will try to do that, and then the rest of you will see you next week on Conducting Conversations.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay.
Make the Yuletide gay.
From now on, our troubles will be miles away. Here we are as in olden days, happy golden days of yore. Faithful friends who are dear to us, gather near to us once more. Through the years we all will be together, if the fates allow. Hang a shining star upon the highest bough. have yourself a merry little Christmas now.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.